The DigitalLifestyle.com presents the Media Centre Show, show 164, Thursday, July 10th, 2008. Show, which this week is brought to you by M-Control from Embedded Automation. Many thanks to Embedded Automation for sponsoring the show this week, and you should check out M-Control, home automation software for Windows Media Center. A link for that is in the show notes. I've got a great show for you this week. I'm going to be talking to Tony Leung from TV Stream about his application called Caption Seeker. This is a utility for searching through captions on TV shows. So imagine that you want to jump to a scene in a movie and you can remember the phrase and you want to jump straight to it. Well, you can type that in and Caption Seeker will do that for you. So it's an interesting application that makes use of the caption data that comes down in the TV stream. So I also have a roundup of the weekly news and your email. So welcome to the show. It's great to have you along. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Do appreciate you listening. And the first email this week is from Rom. It says, "Hi Ian, thanks for your show. I listen to your podcast while getting kids ready in the morning, and you really helped me get the most out of my media centre. Two quick questions. I use Video Redo to cut out commercials out of my recorded TV, and I also convert my home videos to DVR-MS. The problem I'm having is when I'm saving a new DVR-MS, I get no thumbnail. I've read a few threads of various places about the problem, but I can't seem to find a solution. Is there a way to regenerate a thumbnail for a DVR-MS for Media Center? A very quick additional question. I have a custom-built Media Center with a hidden floor for the DVD drive. I have a combo Blu-ray HD DVD player and highly recommend the ArcSoft Total Media Theatre for playing DVDs, as it plays right from within Media Center, unlike Cyberlink software. The case hides the DVD button, so there's no visible eject button on the outside. Is there a way to have the eject button on the remote so that I don't have to either exit out of Media Center to exit the disc or get up to open the hidden panel and on the case and push the button next in on the front of the drive? Thanks again, Ron." Hi Ron, thanks for the email. Actually, interesting question about the DVR-MS to put a thumbnail against it. I'm sure we talked about that on this show, but I had a quick look and I couldn't find anything on it. So I'd be interested to hear what you think on that one. But I can probably answer the question on the eject button. What you need to use is something like IntelliRemote, which we talked about back on show 153. IntelliRemote allows you to map buttons to certain Windows functions. So you could map a button on your remote to the eject button, and then you can just press that and it'll eject. So hopefully that'll do exactly what you want it to do. But have a look at the show 153, link for that in the show notes. Now an email on Tudor Cards. "Hi Ian, I've been listening to the show for a while and really enjoyed your show. I enjoyed listening to the variety of interviews pertaining to the digital lifestyle. I'm finally getting my feet wet with Vista Media Center and have a few questions. Currently I'm using a dual Tudor card with coax connection and single set-top box. When Media Center wants to configure the signal, it expects there to be two set-top boxes as they only have one. I've read on the green button ways of making this happen by modifying the registry, but I haven't because I was wondering if there's a cleaner way. Just curious if you know any other way to configure dual tuner with one connection going to a set-top box and the other going to basic cable. Also, what happens if you add even more tuners or buy XPS 420 with ATI Oka cards and then add additional tuners? Hope this makes sense. Thanks for your help with configuring my DSM 750 from Mike." Thanks for the email, Mike. You've got to have, Media Center does expect two set-top boxes, and you can't really mix and match them aside from the registry setting. Maybe this is something that future Media Center could support, where you can have different configurations. I think you could have over-the-air cards and cable card, but I don't use those, so I'm interested to hear what you listeners think. And a question on cable cards: how many people are actually using cable card, and if you are, what's your thoughts on it? How you found getting on? Let me know, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I'd like to know more on this and to hear what you think about mixing the set-top boxes and cable cards and all these kind of things. Finally, on the email, got one on Vista, which I mentioned about last week, from Joseph. Hi Ian, per your latest podcast, I want to give you some brief feedback regarding my experiences with Vista. First off, I think it's easier to bash the big evil corporation named Microsoft. I am not an Apple or a Linux user, but I would assume both OSs have issues that are certainly not publicised to the extent of Vista's real or perceived issues. As you, I think Vista is head and shoulders above XP and the interface is more elegant and, in my experience, more stable. I think you would always have contrarians who will bash Vista because it's a Microsoft product. Vista could cure cancer and the same people would find fault with it. In my opinion, it's the minority that speaks loud enough to interfere with the opinions of the majority. Joe Average Consumer is going to have a preconceived notion instead that Vista is flawed because his friend heard from his cousin niece who read a blog that stated that Vista is awful. But why is it awful? I would bet the average consumer could not tell you, only that they heard it's awful. Have a great week. Thanks, Joseph, for that email. I think you're absolutely right. Vista is a long way ahead of XP, as you would expect. It's a later operating system. I'm sure that Linux and macOS all have their own issues, and it's just a thing where Vista gets bashed. But I think it's starting to turn around now, and more people are happy with Vista, perhaps because of the service packs and the drivers are better and everything else. But I'm happy with Vista, and I'm happy recommending Vista to anybody. And I've noticed that people that have got Vista that have never read a blog in my life are happy with it. So I think the perception is changing, and I think it's inevitable that the XP crowd will move over a period of time. So you can email me, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I do like getting your emails, and if you could help out on some of those emails read out this week, that would be great. Now to a couple of news items before we go to the interview. Stephen Hardin has made available for download his Media Center Development book, and the book's not complete yet, you can call it a beta, but if you're interested in Media Center Development, it's well worth a look. There's over 150 pages of Media Center and developer information available, and it's very good. I've been reading it, and it's really good stuff. You can get a free copy of it. If you'd like a printable version of it, you can donate via PayPal and Stephen will send you a watermark free printable copy. I think you should support Stephen in that. It's a great book, and I'm definitely going to be purchasing my copy. Over on wegotserve.co.uk, they have details of a new plugin designed for Home Server and Media Center. The application's called TV Manager and is an add-in for Home Server that copies recorded TV shows from Media Center to Home Server for storage and management. And according to the post, the application comes in two parts, one on the Home Server and one on the Media Center. And so far I've only used a Home Server for backing up and sharing files, and I don't store the recorded TV on there. So it might be interesting to check out that application. And of course there are ways of doing it without using the application. You can record directly if you follow the guide that Richard Miller's done in the forums. So have a look at that in the show notes. I've been looking forward to seeing a Windows Media Center Sideshow gadget for a while now, and since the kit's available to run the gadgets on Windows Mobile, this one looks pretty cool. It's a new gadget for controlling Media Center that will run on any Sideshow device, and it looks very much like the software I saw on the RecaVision remote control. And if you've got a Windows Mobile device already, then it's a cheaper way of running that. You can get now playing, and you can control Media Center and all those kind of things. And like I said, there is a kit to run Sideshow on Windows Mobile devices so that you can give this a try. And even if you want to give it a try and you've not got a Windows Mobile device, so you don't want to put it on there, there's an emulator for Windows, so you can give it a try. And there's interesting possibilities with that being able to have that. One interesting announcement happened over the way while I was at the British Grand Prix at Silverstone was that the green button event has been sold to Microsoft. I think this should be interesting for the Media Center community as it's a central point to communicate with the eHome team. And it'll be interesting to see how the change of ownership affects the site. And I guess that makes thedigitallifestyle.com one of the leading independent dedicated Media Center forums. So, as ever, you can have your say on the forums on thedigitallifestyle.com. There's a link on the toolbar, or you can go forums.thedigitallifestyle.com. But anyway, congratulations to the green button. Let's hope that success continues. As Microsoft continues to target Media Center customer installers, At CEDIA Expo 2008, they're going to be training installers on setting up Media Center and other related Media Center topics like Windows Home Server, Extenders, and Zoom. And you can find more details of this on CE Pro's blog. And interestingly, it says that Microsoft plan to unveil new technologies for Windows Media Center at CEDIA, so I wonder what that'll be. It could be an update for Media Center, I don't know yet. So I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about looking for a new Media Center PC. I've not had much time to have a look at that, so I know that you a lot of comments on the post about waiting to see what I do. I did see the Acer X1200 Mini HD PC that Sean Alexander had on his blog, which looks quite nice. It's a nice, small, neat-looking unit. So I may be looking at something like that, or one of the bigger sort of HP towers to give me a bit more capacity for upgrades in the future. But I'm going to start having a look at that in the next week or so, and I'll keep you up to date, because I've had some great comments and feedbacks on that, and I think there's 11 comments on that one. And there's some quite good comments on that, so have a look at that for link in the show notes. And finally, I want you to mention that as the show is sponsored by this week's by M-Control, Chris Lanier has got details of that. The Embedded Automation have announced that the first beta M-Panel units have shipped, and we've got a full interview with Ted Singh on a future show talking about what M-Panel is. This is a kind of wall-mounted unit, very nice-looking thing. But check out the link in the show notes and listen out for Ted Singh's interview in a couple of weeks. Right, so don't forget, links for everything talked about in the show notes on thedigitallifestyle.com. If you think, if there's anything that I think I should be talking about that I've missed, or you want to correct or whatever, usual address, thedigitallifestyle.com. Best way to stay in touch is to follow me on Twitter. My username is isdixon, and I really do like getting the following you on Twitter, because if you follow me, I can follow you back, and this is like where you get the little lines. And I've been a bit quiet on Twitter this week, but I'm catching up on things from Silverstone, but I'm going to be getting back on there. But I really like the fact that that I follow what you're saying, and I like that. And you can also use FriendFeed as well. My username on Twitter is isdixon, on FriendFeed it's Ian D. Right, so now it's time for the interview with Tony Leung from TV Stream. So Tony, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Hi, hello.
The reason why I got in touch with you is going to talk about TV Stream. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, sure. Yes, right. Just a play on the, you know, TV.
Yeah.
TVE Stream, yeah.
And it looks a really interesting application, but you've got quite a few applications on the website as well. So just before we start and talk about TV Stream, just tell us a bit about your company and the kind of applications that you develop.
Yes, well, my company is Arcosoft, ArcoSoft, and you know, we do a number of software, like, so it's a number of product lines. They're all ultimately tied together as a communication, I guess, as a broad area, I suppose. The first product was a fax server, and then another product line, which is the fax servers run fax, and then the other product line is called the VonaLink, which is to link, you know, voice over IP phone and computer. So there's it's kind of a call recording software. And the latest product line is this TV Stream, which is dealing with video type of software. So there's mainly the three product lines, yeah.
Mm. And you're based in Canada, aren't you?
Canada, Ontario, Canada, yes.
Right.
Yes.
So the TV Stream application, just tell us about that, because I think it's it's the first time I've seen anything like this kind of application.
Yes, the one you're referring to is called Caption Seeker. So basically, using the closed caption found in broadcast TV is to, if you use Media Center to record the show, and the caption's also saved, and then that's all just basically plain text, really. And then given that, there's a lot of information there. If you're able to search on that and then, you know, find some keywords and then jump to it, then I think it's very valuable for companies and for individuals as well. There's a product that I see out there, but it's mainly like a turnkey solution. You know, it comes with their own self-contained box, and you know it's like $6,000 or whatever. So this is alternative. Just a software, and then all you need is the Vista, which has the Media Center, Vista Home Premium. So all the recording functions are all done by Vista, the Media Center. So the caption seeker, TV stream caption seeker, basically just indexes the recorded show, and then lets you search on the keywords, and basically control Media Center in terms of being able to jump really fast to the spot where the show, you know, where the caption is being spoken, the words being spoken.
Mm.
So yeah, so I mean, a company, for example, like wants to, or a library wants to, or even police station, you know, they want to track new shows and they want to search on anything relevant to their whatever their activity is, and this is a way to they can have a footage of all the things, and yeah.
Mm. So the way that it works, it picks up on the captions that are in the sort of the normal TV broadcast
that's coming through.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I guess, I mean, throughout the world, there's different standards, but so far I've been tested, like, in, you know, I mean, North America, so I've been testing it with, NTSC, probably in Europe, there'll be a little different type of, format. But all the hard work is done by the, Media Center that's able to capture all that, the captioning, so.
Mm. And I suppose, I mean, so the actual caption data is held within the recorded TV file, then?
That's correct, yes, that's right, yeah.
Mm. And then this is then going through that text file and time coding it effectively.
Yeah, so you have the file. We index it, so there will be a time when the caption appears and then the line of text that's spoken.
Mm. Yeah. I think it opens up a potential for lots of different usages. Like you said, just jumping straight to a scene is a good way, but also a bit of having a searchable index of TV shows. If you can't remember which show it was on, you can. You know what series it was in. You can put a few keywords and away it goes. That's right.
You can search on a description of the show as well. So if a show has some shows have descriptions, so you can search on that as well.
Oh, right. The descriptions in the stream, you mean?
Well, if a Media Center, for a particular show, they would have I guess it's probably from the program guide or something. It's actually stored in the file afterwards. After it's recorded, it's stored in the file. The description of the show, like what the show is about, that particular episode, whatever.
Yeah.
So
I see. So the description is the text that comes up in Media Center when you're viewing the details of the program.
Yeah, when you can explore, if you click on it, you sometimes you see the description of the show, some are more informative than others. Like some news show just says news, but something like Hannah Montana, whatever they would have, it's kind of a summary of what the episode is about, right? So that's a way you can search on that or the captions either way. Yeah.
And I guess then this is where it's useful though, is if it was a news program and it just, like you said, just says news in the description, if you're looking for a particular piece of that, you can search through the program actual captions for the text.
That's right. And it's recursive, right? So you can set up your own folders, right? Like, so you can put all the new shows in one folder or whatever, and you have subdirectories, and you can use Caption Seeker to say index just this subfolder and then also all the further subfolders. And when you search, you can also do the same thing. You can say point to a particular folder after you index it, of course, and then you can say whether you want to limit to the subfolders or not. And indexing can be done like schedule. So you just basically you can use the Windows task scheduler to schedule the indexing. So after maybe every day you run it at midnight, whatever, and the other shows that you recorded that day, if it hasn't been indexed already, it's indexed it.
Mm. Yeah. And then what kind of file then after it's indexed it does it put out? Is it held in kind of an XML file or anything like that?
It's not a XML file, but it's just a file. It's just a text file that it makes it more convenient for Caption Seeker to use to search quickly.
Mm. So then I guess then though, does that then open up the possibilities that you could then do things with that data as well as searching, but you could also, use it for other applications?
Well, we have another product. It's called Caption Saver. So that came before that. It's kind of like a part of the journey to building Caption Seeker. The Caption Saver, what it does is it's also working with the Video Media Center file, the DVD-R, the DVR-MS file. What that does, it will convert to a WMV file, Windows Media Video file, and it will also extract the captions out into a standard file, like a SAMI file, S-A-M-I, or S-M-I file, which can be which Windows Media Player can read, like together, and then it will show the captions on the bottom. It will show the captions together.
Right.
So it, on one hand, it, you know, it converts the video, but also extracts out the captions in a standard SMI, synchronized, I think it's called a synchronized media interchange or something file, so that you can, with together, those two pieces, you can actually, if you put it on your web server, you can, and then you, you're watching the video in the web browser, you can see the captioning too.
Right.
Using that file. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty interesting. Because I was thinking that, you know, you could, there's a variety of ways you could use this data. I mean, even so much as using a second display to display the caption text and have the video on a main display if you, you know, a developer could take both streams and be a bit creative with those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it opens it all up. And then, you know, the caption data is quite important for people with, like, you know, hearing impaired or they're, you know, they're learning the language.
I mean, it's thinking, like, you could have, say, you know, you're watching a TV show on your home theater, and then on a UMPC, you could have scrolling subtitles coming up as the, you know, the caption text as you're watching it in sync. That'd be pretty useful.
Well, you're referring to like what kind of show?
Well, I mean, it could be a TV show. You could be watching a recorded TV show, and then it could be somehow getting that to a second display.
That'd be another application. I'm not sure somebody would want to do that. I guess if you didn't want to see the caption on the main display for some reason.
Yeah, or you could throw it out to something like a sideshow display or something, you know, and on a mobile device, Windows mobile device. So I suppose there's a lot of possibilities once you've got the text out to show.
Yeah, sure. Right, that's right.
I think it's a really good idea. I think the idea that you can use it for indexing is definitely a good idea. But the moment the user interface is sort of a Windows interface, do you think there would ever be some benefits of having this kind of searchable directly from the Media Center interface?
I thought of that. The thing is, it'd be nice if you can do everything inside. However, then you want to type, you need to be able to type the text quickly, you know. And I think there's all, you know, like, so you, I don't know if you want a pop-up keyboard, that's kind of kind of clunky to type quickly or whatever. So, and you, ultimately you still need to control, do a lot of some things outside of Media Center. I mean, like the indexing and look, basically saying which file you want and things like that. So this point, I decided to have a Windows application, which, you know, you on the same screen. Like you wouldn't run this with a full screen Media Center, full screen. You run it as a part of the screen, and then I mean, you could, like, I guess you have two displays. You could do that, right? You could have one Windows display running the Windows application, and then the other display using the full screen.
Yeah.
That would, you know, probably for people.
I think the key to it though is the fact that you've got the data split out into a searchable format, and just having that as a metadata.
Yes, right. And I've tested some shows, like I say, a half-hour show, one-hour show, and I find that, you know, when you click on the caption, it's almost immediate. Like, I'm surprised how fast, you know, it would just say, you know, you load it, Media Center will load the media and jump to a location. It's just like a few seconds. I mean, you know, it's not like it's scanning, like searching for it. So it's quite. I think that it turns out pretty works pretty quickly to jump to a location.
Yeah. I suppose that's jumping to location is one of the keys. And that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the I guess that's the powerful part of it, right?
Yeah. So not only can you find which. Effectively, you could look for which show it was in, but the actual which time segment it takes you straight to it. I think it's a really good idea.
That's right, and you can do you can combine words, right? Like, you know, multiple words, like basically this word and this word. So, you know,
I think that's terrific, especially when you know you want to go through a show and you're in Media Center and you want to you know it's in the second half of the show and you've got to keep using the fast forward button or, you know, the skip button. It can take a while, so if you can go straight to the words that you were looking for, that's going to
exactly.
be a lot easier.
And I find that, you know, the scanning is not that. It's kind of when I use Media Center scanning, it's not really. It's quite hard to. I mean, it's always missing the spot. You know, like you're just going too fast or too slow. I find, I don't know. And of course, the caption is not showing, so you don't know what's happening when that's how, when it's seeking. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, when you're seeking, you don't get to see the captions anyway.
Yes, that's right. And you can't spot, like, I mean, without adding any, like, the way it is with media center, you can't just say, oh, jump to a spot, right? Like, say, I want, you know, whatever time frame. You can't do that, like, easily or without adding something extra, you know?
Yeah. But I think this is just another way of getting the data. And, if the caption data is already there, then you may as well make use of it.
That's right.
I think it would be good to see it expanded out into to work with other content types, but I guess that's just getting around to working with all the different standards and DVB-T and all these different ways of doing things.
Well, I guess as long as I kind of like leverage off the media center, because you know, as new kind of new type of broadcast signals come in, like different types of, like right now I'm using like cable, but if there could be different types of, right, like satellite or you know, HD or whatever, as long as, I mean, the media center can show the capture, you know, save the captions, then then my application can just work with that file. It would go off very far, as opposed to trying to interface directly with Tuna cards. You know, when you buy a Tuna, a lot of application, like their own application, like recording show application, but most of the time those applications, they ignore the cable. Sorry, they ignore the closed captioning because it's too hard, or they didn't bother with it, right? So lots of time, you know, those things you got to figure out which each device, okay, how to get that. Like it becomes quite a support issue. So as long as media center can show the captioning, whatever it's the show it's recording through whatever signal, and if that's captured in the same stream, like kind of not embedded, of course, in the video, but as a separate text stream, then we have a good chance of being able to work with that file. So if somebody, like I say in Europe, okay, if they can send me a file with PAL, you know, like right now I haven't tested with PAL, so if they can send me a small clip with PAL, with whatever, I don't know, maybe it's called teletext or something their own, you know.
Yeah.
If someone can send me that, again, I can, you know, probably can extract the captions out of that and make it work too. So that's how we want to move forward with supporting different types of signals, I guess.
I guess so, as long as if Media Center stores the data consistently, no matter what the source is, then you can access it, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And that's just one of the benefits of using a platform like Media Center.
It's quite low. I mean, it's practically free. I mean, you know, Vista is not that expensive. Right? And Media Center comes with Vista Home Premium and Ultimate, so you just have to throw in a tuner card. You don't even have to buy any recording software. It's all part of Media Center and has a program guide, all, you know, no subscription fees, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that you've got the software development kit and published APIs, yep, so you can do these kind of applications, like, is great.
Yeah, yes, that's right, yeah.
And so I noticed that you've got some other stuff on the site, like things like FrameSeeker and stuff. So is this something that you kind of like to work with the video stuff and sort of interrogating video?
Yes. FrameSeeker came about with this one customer who was initially interested in my the first product, which is called Octo Media Player, which is, you know, basically a media player, but you can see up to 8 of them, you know, for the people who have 8 eyes, I guess. The idea behind that, Media Center, Media Player, Windows Media Player, you can only bring one instance of it, right? Because when you click on a show or whatever video, it'll bring it up, but then if you click on it, another thing, it just replaces it. So you can't really watch anything side by side, right? And so the idea of Octo Media Player is, well, you may in some cases you do want to compare, you know, a video, for whatever reason, right? You know, you're looking for something, you know. You're not concentrating on a video, but you want to see, you know, you're looking for something. You want to do it in parallel, right? And we're like, just like those security guards, you can, you know. So actually, my first customer of that is somebody actually who does they do ghost hunting. You know, like they do paranormal investigations.
Yeah.
So they have all this footage, right? Of video footage that they record when they have an investigation, and they want to watch it, you know, at the same time. Because they have several cameras, you know, going, they want to see what each camera is seeing at the same time. So, and Octo Media is like a low cost piece of software that does that. So from that, you know, his other need, person who does his investigation was he also takes video, right? He's looking for things that change, right, over time, over long periods of time. And that's how, you know, he was doing it a very laborious way. You know, he would take the footage and then take some screen, like snapshots of from the, you know, two parts and then try to compare them and then half that and then redo the whole process over and over again. Like, it was so laborious. So that's how the frame seeker came about. Basically, it compares each subsequent frame in the video looking for a change. So basically, it's for analyzing surveillance videos to, you know, if somebody walks in the room or somebody leaves the room or something drastic happens, I guess, so there's a sensitivity setting that you could set, like how much difference you want. Like you can even detect like a flash of light if you set the sensitivity in a certain way. And so that's what that is for.
That's an excellent idea for if you're running, like you said, for security cameras. You just want to find, you know, when it got stolen, you can look back and see the change, I guess, then.
Yeah, exactly. So it gives you a little rough cut, you know, like kind of rough idea, okay, where to look in, you know, initially, as opposed to scanning 8 hours of video, staring and waiting and back in. Like, it just kills you if you have to do that, right, continuously. So, yeah.
It's a nice application. That I like these. That's the thing I like about being able to develop for these platforms, is you can come up with stuff like that, think, you know, for Windows Media Player or Windows Media Center.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And so, where's the place to go then for anybody to have a look at Caption Save and Caption Seeker?
Yeah, so the website is TVStream, TEVESTREAM.com, TVStream. Yeah.
And is it a is it trialware or is it freeware?
That's right. Yeah, you get 15 days, you download evaluation, and then you activate it by, you know, after you purchase, you get a key, a serial number, and you'll activate it. Yeah. Mm.
Excellent. Well, I think it's a really interesting application and a good use of the Media Center platform. So thanks very much for coming on the show to talk about it.
You're welcome. Thanks very much for inviting me. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for your time today.
Okay, thank you very much.
And thanks to Tony. You can find links to everything we talked about in today's show in the show notes on digitallifestyle.com. Don't forget Twitter, IS Dixon, FrimFeedingD, and the blogs and the forums and everything else. Please head over to the forums, register, and get a post on there. I want to build more of a community, since it's a good independent community for Media Center now. And I'll see you next week. Bye.